This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
And welcome to episode 78 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John, and you know what 78 is, Mike? 78's a great number.
Is it right after 77, right before 79?
Yeah, but it's also mathematically pretty impressive.
Okay.
You know me, I like that one certain number grouping.
Oh.
Is it? It's 6,084, the square root of 6,084.
Oh, is it really?
It is, yes.
Oh.
6,084, yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was going to be six something else.
I think it's also six baker's dozens.
Oh, okay. Is it really the square root of 6,084? You just throwing that out there?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It sounded good.
I'm not going to do math today.
4 square root is 78. Yeah. It's the square root of 6,084.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, on this 13th Baker's Dozen episode, we're going to talk about shows and stuff. Got a couple new shows.
Got a couple returning shows.
Returning shows. That's what I meant. A couple returning shows. Not new. Returning. And I got some trailers to talk about. Yeah.
I've got a couple of movies to talk about and a couple of trailers. And
oh, I got a movie to talk about. I got me a movie to talk about,
I got
too.
Three movies.
I got one.
You couldn't do the, you know, one.
I've got one.
Now I just want to hear from Count Von Count. What do you got? What's new with the TV view?
What's new with me? I guess not new. I got returning shows like The Good Place came back.
And, it did.
And Gotham came back. And,
yep.
Hey, let's just talk about Gotham first to get the horribleness out of the way.
Oh my God. Yeah, go for it.
So, okay, 3 months have passed since the end of the last season
and
the timeline on the show. There's a new mayor, there's a new police commissioner, and the Penguin has apparently issued licenses for committing crimes.
Yeah, they're really high-tech, too.
And yeah, apparently it's a very nasty-looking piece of paper, because every time they show one, it's all ruffled up. So he's forcing the mayor, and I mean, how corrupt is this city?
It's going to be beyond redemption.
Is there a city like this in the world that actually exists? The mayor and the commissioner have been blackmailed into allowing him to issue licenses to commit crime
because he produced numbers. Look, right. I brought crime down by like 58%.
And then the police are all for it because they're not getting shot anymore because the crime in the town is so bad. I mean, there must be no tourism here. Why do people live in this fucking town? I don't get. Like, why would anyone choose to live in Gotham? Like, the place is such a crime-ridden shithole. How is there anyone on the police force? Right. Why would anyone choose to live here? Why would anyone visit here?
Yep.
I mean, you're right. The town is beyond redemption, and yet they still have parties and mixers, and people go out to nightclubs even though, I get beat up for no reason tonight, or, victim of a crossfire, or just wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
And yet
just a straight up robbery. I got off lucky tonight.
Exactly. You know, and it's just, yeah. So, and again, somehow the police force goes along with this. Even Harvey is like, oh, this is what the commissioner says. We got to do what the commissioner says. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
I know he used to be crooked and all, and he's not anymore, but go be a cop someplace else.
Right. Exactly. You know, like,
so it's just, yeah, they've created themselves a world where it's just for too long it's been this way. You know, this whole license to commit crime shit, this is like too over the top.
It is. Like, no logical person would say, I could see a world where that would happen.
Right.
Like, you and I are famous for defending some of these shows and saying, you know, well, you know, Flash did this, but it is kind of a comic book thing.
Yes.
I even have a hard time giving the comic book pass on this.
Yeah, it's just, it's too much. I mean, as it is, the fact that there's so much crime is unbelievable. Over the top, absurdness. And then now the fact that, you know, citizens have to deal with criminals who literally have a license, that they're allowed to go do this.
Right.
It's dumb. Like, it's beyond absurdity.
If crime's really that rampant, why aren't there more citizens who either A, are packing and walking around, you know, like the Purge, basically. Like,
yeah.
In the world of the Purge movies, people take steps. They barricade their houses or they carry weapons because they know what the world is like and they're like, I need to be prepared for this. People in Gotham seem to be genuinely surprised every time they get robbed or murdered or whatever. They're like, oh my God, this never happens last week 15 times.
Well, it's like Jim's the robbery that Jim experienced when he walked into his local bar to get coffee. And the bartender's getting robbed, and he's just like, well, it's just another day.
Yeah.
You know? I'll get you coffee in a minute, Jim. You know? Huh, okay.
Yeah.
It's just the level of absurdity is beyond redemption. It's just, yeah, it's too much. It's just too much. But anyways, license of misconduct, really?
Yeah.
And then, all right, so you have Bruce being Batman, but he's not calling himself Batman yet. So I'm glad they said they'd never do that on the show, and yet they're doing it in the fourth season.
Yeah.
And he puts his mask on, jumps off of a roof to an alley below, beats up a couple people, and then the second he's done beating up, he rips his mask off so he can get a better look because the eye holes, I guess, aren't big enough to look at the license of misconduct. So it's like, well, that's a good move right there, Brucey.
Yeah, yeah, way to protect the identity.
The only thing that there's two things I liked about this episode.
Okay.
The first is being how they reintroduced the Scarecrow.
Yes.
I like that because I just do. It looked like a badass villain. I like that. I also liked how Victor Zass was enforcing the criminals that don't have a license.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I like him as a character.
Yep.
And he was a little bit more comedic this time around. So, but otherwise, like, it's just...
I was also, once again, not a fan of the idea of sexifying the 16-year-old Catwoman.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah, I agree with that.
I get that the Catwoman character was always, you know, the skin-tight leather and the cat burglar and the, you know...
She was very sexual.
Yes, but this is a 16-year-old girl who is not sexual. Like, there's nothing about her that has been sexual going along. She has not been walking the streets and turning tricks and stuff like that. She has been a street thug.
Yep.
And to suddenly have her wearing, like, plunging necklines and cleavage and stuff like that, it's ridiculous.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And then, of course, there's still the tension. Like, the tension that we've seen in the comics or even in the movies between Batman and Catwoman, they're playing it out more now with Bruce and – you know what I mean? It's like they've always been that way. They've always danced this dance.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah,
so.
It's ridiculous. I keep going back to what Martin said, you know, imagining it as an alternate world.
Yep.
And the thing is, that gets me through some of it, but at the same time, as an alternate world, it sucks.
Like, and I think that's what keeps me watching it, too, but this is just, yeah. I feel like, okay, with Lucifer, I gave up on it because I'm like, this is just too ridiculous. I don't care.
Yep.
But yet with this, it's almost like I don't want to, or I give up on it, or I just like, I don't know. It's weird. It's like, it's kind of like when Arrow gets bad, but I keep watching, or when Legends kind of gets bad, but I keep watching.
Yep.
It's, I don't want to miss out, I guess.
It makes me feel kind of like, the best analogy I could say is, when you pull something out of the fridge and it smells awful. Sometimes, yep, with some things, you're just like, screw it, and you throw it away. But with some of them, it's like growing mold on it, and it smells so weird that you just have to share it with other people. Yep. And you become almost obsessed, like, oh my God, I've got to smell it again. I've got to smell it again. It kind of feels like that with me. Like, it's terrible, and I should not want to watch it anymore, but for some reason, I keep coming back.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, it's a good analogy. It's a good analogy. Anyhow, so, yeah. It ended with Bruce falling through a skylight because he was leaning against it, watching a crime happen. And then the police show up, and I guess seeing how he doesn't have a license of misconduct, they're going to arrest him. That's the assumption, I guess, is that Bruce is going to get himself arrested at the end of the episode, I guess. I don't know. They'll just next episode show how he escaped, probably.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be watching it, because, you know.
Anyhow. So, the guest book. We have an episode to talk about, I believe. Episode 9.
Yeah, and there's only one episode left after this.
Little Amish Boy.
Yep.
So, all right. Based on the previous on and this and that, it feels like the show is out of order.
Yes.
Feels like the show with the old man doing the old KKK bit. They tried to patch up the best they could, but it's definitely out of order.
Yes.
But anyhow, in this episode, Amish kid on Rum Springer falls in love with Brittany Snow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, 8 Mile. And decides to go find her. And
because it's the first movie that is on TV when he turns it on.
Yeah, basically.
Sorry, they were bootleg DVDs, yeah.
Bootleg DVDs from his cousin, yeah. And he finds out that she's dead, so he is going. So he ends up at the Froggy Cottage.
Yep.
For some reason. And then falls in love with Marcia Brady.
Well,
After unsuccessfully trying to kill himself?
Yeah, because he decided that, you know, oh, well, if she's dead, then God obviously wants me to be with her in heaven, so I should just kill myself. And his dad had given him a gun and said, it's a dangerous world out there. If anybody threatens you, just wave this around, and that's how it works. And then somebody was like, you need bullets. So he bought a bullet off an old guy in a wheelchair at the strip club for $5.
Yep.
And it was the wrong caliber.
Yes, he didn't fit the gun. Yeah. So then he tried to electrocute himself with a toaster.
Yep.
But the cord wasn't long enough, so he heated it up and then jumped into the tub with it, and that didn't work for
because,
him.
Because, as he said, I still don't understand electricity very well.
Yeah, he. And then he tried to hang himself with the macrame that got ruined in episode 1.
Yep.
And when that didn't work, he goes, I don't know what it's supposed to be, but I made an owl. I'm like, that's funny.
That is. Nice throwback.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And then how did he injure it? He injured his leg. Was that from the fall, from the trying to hang himself?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
He jumped off the banister. And
then the doctor saw him.
Yep.
He was on his date, and they helped him up. And then he did watch.
No hard thing, because he's dragging himself across the yard.
Yeah. And then they did watch – he watched the Brady Bunch and fell in love with Marcia Brady.
Yep.
And he heads off to Hollywood and he finds Maureen McCormick, who looked very good.
Yep.
Incidentally. And I just like that. Rum Springer, this is what happens when you don't watch TV.
Yeah, like she gets this all the time.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. And then the B story is the locals that are always there. I can't think of his name, but the he's not the Charles Robinson there. He's not going to take it anymore.
Yeah,
about the blackmailing, and then the boy he gives him the tape, but she's gonna the stripper's gonna go tell his wife anyways.
Yep,
and they get into a fight outside.
Yeah, outside the cottage while his wife's inside cleaning the cottage.
Yeah, and she's going to bash his head in with a rock, which seems very, like, over-the-top violent all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah, like straight-up murder.
And Garrett Dillahunt's outside practicing his crossbow, and he shoots her right through the boob.
Like he does the action dive roll thing, yes. And he's, like, on the ground. He's like, funk. I mean, that thing goes right through her back and through the tit.
Yeah, right through the boob. I mean, it's just like, ugh. And then she turns around and friggin' he clocks her in the back of the head with a rock.
Yep.
And then the wife looks outside. All she's just Garrett Dillahunt standing and just waves at her.
Because, you know, he's just like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, and he's like, that's the first time I ever hit what I was shooting at. And then, like, they drag her into the back door of Froggy Cottage while his wife's walking out the front. And in the meantime, Garrett Dillahunt and the police officer had themselves a date and had themselves some sex action, and she was sleeping in his house next door.
Yep.
So, this was definitely a turn I was not expecting.
Nope.
While watching this show, but I'll take it because I'm enjoying it.
Yep. For me, it was probably the weakest episode, but it was still enjoyable.
Yes. I think so far my favorite episode of the series is the Michael Rapaport episode.
I would have to agree. Yeah. I really like that one.
Yeah, I did too. But I've enjoyed the series as a whole so far, and I hope we get another season.
Yeah. I bet we will.
While we're talking about the G's, how about The Good Place? Did you watch the return?
I sure did. It was a one-hour-long return.
What'd you think? I mean, it was technically two episodes.
Yes.
But what'd you think of it?
I was happy to be back with these characters in this world.
Yep.
I thought that they put these two episodes together well enough to eliminate all the hope that we had from the end of the last season. You know,
yes.
'Cause Eleanor had left herself a note inside Janet's mouth and you're like, oh, she's gonna remember. And, so a lot of these episodes were the Bad Place people talking about, you know, like, what's my motivation? Why am I doing this? You know, they were gearing up for version 2.0.
Yes.
And
we got to see the reintroduction of our four main characters talking to Michael for the first time.
And they did a great job of that. I really liked how they each, like, tied into each other. Like, you didn't realize that, you know, when Eleanor shoved the shots, she was like, hey, these are for you. That it was actually for, what's her face there? Tahani, yes.
Tahani.
But yeah, it was nice seeing them all reintroduced and with their new situations, you know, Chidi being put in the situation where he had to make a decision, which he can't do. And, John Yu or Jason being paired up with another mute Buddhist monk. And, I liked it. I know that it's going to be interesting since basically they kind of in two episodes wiped the slate clean again. Yeah, they're going to get reset again, and this time there's no note. So I don't know what they're going to do with that. Like, are they going to allow these guys to retain some of their memories, or are they going to be like, no, we're just, you know, they're going to have to figure it out from here if they choose to type of thing?
Right. Well, okay, so I liked how they did the introduction because you're right. They had the note in the mouth. How long is this going to carry on? And I was actually pretty surprised that they did wrap it up in the first two episodes.
Yep.
And he did like a hard reset saying we're going to do 3.0.
Yep.
And Michael's boss has basically thought this would fail from the beginning and didn't want him, you know, and barely let him do the reboot the first time. So,
yeah.
And then at the end he makes the proclamation like there will not be a third time. And they've already done a third one.
Exactly.
I almost like this. Okay, so I like what they did in these two episodes, but I kind of liked the show a lot last season. Like, it really kind of grew on me the way it was.
Yep.
And so now rewatching it, knowing like that they're already in the bad place, like when they did the twist of, hey, they're in the bad place, I was like, oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
But now it's almost like, okay, so what are they going to do? Like, are we just going to watch the characters stumble around with each other for, you know, 11 more episodes or however long the season is? So I was just, I'm curious to see where they're going to go and how we're going to get done. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we can see that Michael's evil.
Yep.
How are they going to get – they're not going to get to the real good place. And if he does, if they don't like what's happening, he can just blink them away.
Right.
So
– so it almost kind of takes the enjoyment out is what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. It almost takes the enjoyment out.
It'd be like if you were watching one of the Saw movies and – it just kept going. Like, they just kept adding more people to the same rooms. And you're like, okay, we've already seen the traps. We already know how it's going to work.
Why yeah, do you like, keep doing like this? We've had 7 Saw movies, an 8th one coming out. And each one, of course, you have a different elaborate setup. If they just kept doing people in the same setup, you're exactly. Like, oh, I've seen how they get out of this. Or I know what they have to do to escape here. Yeah. So, I don't know. I like the characters a lot.
Me too.
I was very surprised they got a second season because, you know, I just was. So I don't know. We'll see, I guess. We'll see where it goes. I'm looking forward to what they do, I guess.
Yeah, it could have easily ended at the first season, and it would have been a good ending.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm hoping that whatever they do from this point on is like the first – because remember the first season, too, the first, like – 4 or 5 episodes, it was like, okay, this is all right. It seems kind of formulaic. It didn't really hit its stride until they started introducing the twists. And then you're like, oh, wait. And then once the big twist, you're like, this is great. So I'm hoping that they keep that in mind in this one because I could easily see them being formulaic. And then are they going to twist? Are they not going to twist?
Right. Right. So we'll see. We shall see.
Yes, we shall.
So you're the worst.
Yep.
What'd you think of this week's episode? Episode 4.
Yep. For those keeping track number-wise.
Yeah, episode 4. I don't know what the name of the title of the episode was, but
no, I don't either.
Yeah.
This one, I almost felt like we were missing something when it came to the whole Edgar Lindsay thing, because last we knew they were FWBs, and then all of a sudden in this episode, like, he's dating, and she's talking to him about his dating and stuff, and, like, he's trying to pick up women, and, like, wait a minute, this was not, you know, what did we miss in between here?
Yeah, okay, I felt the same way. I felt like, all right, I thought, because I remember saying last episode, the episode before, that it's not going to last, because it doesn't last. One will become attached to the other somehow.
Yep.
Because when you hang out with someone that much, you get along with someone, like, that's just what happens. You know what I mean?
As long as you're sexually compatible, because you and I have hung out a lot and we get along well, but we have never gotten to that point.
Right, because we're both into chicks.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, I had to add the caveat.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But anyways, so I felt like they really like almost jumped the shark on that. Like they did it so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But then by the end of the episode, the twist on it was very extreme.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Because it's almost like, all right, so we've been watching Lindsay quote unquote grow up by becoming responsible and getting her job, but still being a screw off because she likes to take a pin and poke the human mannequins, as she calls them.
Yes. Yeah, and so she's still got Lindsay in her.
Yeah, exactly. And we have her going to babysit Tallulah because apparently they need a babysitter when Becca – when Becca and Vernon go down and do their podcast,
yeah,
they need someone to watch the baby because I guess they can't do it when the baby's asleep or you know any other reasonable time. I don't get it.
Their podcast is like high production value. I mean,
yeah,
they had like full headsets and microphones and corporate sponsors and sound
and a recording room.
Yeah,
and everything. Yes,
Vernon down the house.
Burning down the house, yeah. And then who is going to be their guest that canceled?
Oh, my God, that's right. Shit.
All I can think of is Scott Baio, but it wasn't Scott Baio.
No. It was somebody. It was one of those, like, B-star things that you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they get Gretchen to be on the show because she's all daytime drunk because she's still upset about what happened between her and Jimmy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the same time, apparently Becca has a gay best friend that she kisses full in the mouth and gets drunk with all the time now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So on the show, basically, Becca convinces Gretchen that she needs to keep living with Jimmy because she paid rent for the house.
Yes, which I get that.
Yeah. I get that, too. That kind of makes sense. You get a little civil issue going on there. But, of course, you know how that's going to be handled, as we saw.
Yeah.
And basically, Becca gets drunk off her ass and then passes out while the baby's laying on the floor. And Lindsay gets very annoyed by it. And then Edgar expresses that he wants more from his relationship with Lindsay than just sex. And then she really buys into it. And then he just like, see, I was just joking.
Mm-hmm.
See, I can do it. I can pick up people like this. And yeah. Then Lindsay's just like, wow. That's when you find out that Lindsay's the one that's like, wow, I really like him a lot.
Yeah.
And I really like taking care of this baby. And there's really a lot of things in life I'd like to have. But instead of doing that, I'm going to throw myself into work. And it cuts to – she's doing this whole montage, and it cuts to she's talking to her boss. I'm going to be just like you and throw myself into work and have no other life. And her boss is like, I'm married and have 5 kids I have to take care of. I work all the time because there's a lot that needs to be done. I have a life.
So. Right. Kind of deflates her whole idea there, but then it also reinforces the fact that, oh, wait, so I could have all that stuff that I want and a job if I was willing to work hard, and will she really be willing to work hard because it's Lindsay?
Probably not.
Yeah.
And then Edgar, he finds out that his book that he is – his bit of literature called Jimmy. Width of a Peach – not Edgar, Jimmy, sorry. Yeah. I don't want to say Edgar. He finds out that his book, Width of a Peach, that he calls, you know, English literature is nothing more than erotica.
Yeah.
Cheap airport erotica.
His publishing company is like having a meeting with him, and they're basically telling him, you know, they're being nice about it, but they're like, oh, well, this is how it sells, you know? It is. Imagine the woman who's like, she needs to get some release, so she picks up this novel and she thinks, oh, it's going to be trashy romance. She opens it up and it's real literature. They were pretty good salesmen in that.
They convinced him on that, yes.
Yep.
And then basically just it comes down to, and the woman's just like, look, you need the money. You need to sell this. You haven't done anything else since the first book. You need the money. You need to get your name out there. You need to get some name recognition again. So just do it.
Yeah.
And come to this live reading thing we're doing at this bookstore, whatever it is. And he does it, not regrettably, but you know the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, he basically begrudgingly.
Yeah, he begrudgingly goes and does it and just like – completely falls for and loves every second of it.
Yep. Oh, yeah. To the point where they're like, take off your pants. And he's like doing a striptease in front of them.
Yep. So, but so he's happy and he heads home and he's sitting there. And then all of a sudden, oh, look, hey, Gretchen's here. Yep. She walks upstairs, gets something out of the fridge, heads back downstairs. And then he goes down to his bedroom and she basically does the, oh, I still live here. I paid rent. Now get out of my room, and shuts the door. There's a lot in 24 minutes.
Yeah. This show really, it doesn't like waste time chewing the scenery. It's like, yep. We're going to tell you everything going on here.
Now, here's the thing. I really don't want to spend the next 5 episodes or 3 episodes or 2 episodes even dealing with the relationship issues between Jimmy and Gretchen. I think when I watch the show, I find it funnier watching their misadventures together as a couple.
Yep.
Than I'm going to enjoy their than what they have going on right now. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
yeah, and by a similar token, I don't want to spend the next 5 or 6 episodes watching Edgar become more and more of a douchebag while Lindsay pines for him.
Yep, I don't want to see that. I don't want to deal with that either.
So far, the show is very good. It hasn't disappointed me. It keeps me entertained and keeps it moving along. I never find myself like, oh my God, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? So I'm expecting them to keep up with that.
Yeah, and I'm hoping they do.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they do.
Yeah. Don't become every other show.
Don't become just like every other show that's out there. Because to me, this is it's a comedy, and I want comedy out of this, not drama.
I
want my drama kept to a minimum.
Yes. But this show has always done drama well.
Like, yes, it has.
Even the episode where, you know, Edgar wanted to kill himself was really well done. Even though it was very light on the comedy, it was so well done. Yeah. So, yeah, just keep your shit together, guys, and we'll be all good.
So I did not watch American Horror Story Cult.
Oh, no.
I kind of forgot to watch it. Like, I think I went at one point to look. I went on my FX app and went, okay, there's only 3 episodes. Okay. And then I realized, oh, shit, I never watched that 3rd episode. So I'll have to catch up for next week.
Okay.
And I don't have a whole lot of shows to talk about this week. I essentially have one more. New one.
I have 3 left on my list.
I got the Orville.
Yep.
What are the 2 you have?
South Park, which I can basically sum up and just say they are not doing like they did last season where, you know, it's one long story for the entire thing. This one was this was back to South Park standards where they deal with a different world issue each week, and this time it was what's going on in Korea. And it was actually kind of funny because it was all focused around Tweak, who's, you know, tweaked out as it is, but the president, Garrison, who is supposed to be Trump, kept tweeting things like, you know, North Korea, Tweak isn't afraid of you. Go ahead and fire a missile over his house. He doesn't care. And the kid's just like going absolutely batshit crazy out of his mind because the president is threatening North Korea over him. It was a good episode. It was definitely not, you know, a continuation of last week's with the Alexas and the Googles and stuff like that.
Okay.
And the other one that I watched other than the Orville was American Vandal on Netflix.
Did you get through all, was it 6 episodes?
I got through all 8 episodes.
8, okay, 8. What'd you think of it?
Well, here's the thing. So the only reason that I really started watching this was because everywhere that I turned on my Instagram feed, I'd see these things pop up that would be like, who drew the dicks? Who drew the dicks? Where did the dicks come from? And they did a really good marketing campaign because I was like, fine, I'll watch it and find out where the dicks came from.
Yeah.
And the story behind this is it's done like a documentary of a real, like, How to Make a Murderer kind of thing that was really popular a few years back.
Okay.
And so it's a real crime thing, but it starts off with this kid, Dylan, who was the burnout, loser, high school kid, and always getting in trouble. And somebody went out and spray painted 27 teachers' cars with giant red penises on them. With spray paint. And the footage is gone. It was erased from the servers. And there's only like, other than teachers, there's only like 9 students who had access to the servers. So they pretty much, they had testimony from one kid and one teacher that said that they saw Dylan out there and he had motive. So he's been expelled from school. And these two
AV
kids.
Hold on real quick.
Sure.
Is it filmed in the form of a docudrama or is this an actual documentary? So it's a fictional story and they're telling it in the form of,
yes.
All right. All right. Yep. Sorry. Continue.
So you've got these two AV kids who are trying to get to the truth. And the thing is, I sent one of my friends a link. I was like, hey, check this out. Yeah. She said she was bored and I was like, check this out. So we both had the same thought, which is, it's a Netflix original. It's called American Vandal. It's about dicks being drawn on cars. We expected it to be funnier, like have it be like a joke kind of thing. This thing took itself very, very seriously. Like it really felt like a true crime kind of thing. I came out of this like, holy crap, this could have actually happened. Like they really could have had this thing happen and all the players involved and all the conspiracies and all the twists and stuff. It was really well done, but it was not a comedy. It was not a ridiculous, you know, farcical kind of thing. There were some stupid moments and some funny moments, but really this was set up to be like a honest to God crime. It kind of took me by surprise. Like I kept waiting for it to be like the joke part or the humorous part, but they really, even the parts that were funny, they really, played it down. And it was neat too, because while they're recreating all this stuff and trying to put together pieces of the events, like there was a party at one person's house on one day. And so the two documentarians are going through different people's Instagram accounts and looking for pictures and videos and, you know, putting them together to line up a timeline of the night. You know, okay, this is from this time of night and this is from this time of night. And look, you can see this person walking down here in this video. And then in this video, they're in the backyard, which is kind of cool because that's pretty much, you know, the way it is today. I liked it. At the end of the day, I liked it. I would never watch it again, but it was really interesting to see it as what it was, I guess.
Okay.
If you want something that's very crime drama-esque, you know, they're only 35 minutes per episode, 8 episodes. So, you know, you're looking at about a 4-hour time commitment. But if you want something that's true crime, but didn't really happen, it's worth a look.
Okay. Cool. It's only 8 episodes, so you're only committing a little over 4 hours of your time if you get sucked into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. All right. So, The Orville.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna say I really, really like this show.
I do too.
Like the humor level, it's Seth MacFarlane, so there's a certain humor level that you're expecting when you watch it, and it's not there. Like, because there's a lot of funny bits in it, but what I mean is it's not your typical over-the-top.
Right.
Like, the original Star Trek was very famous for handling real-life or real-world issues.
Yep.
Just set in a futuristic time frame. And they're kind of doing it in this show as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but in their own way. And basically, in this episode, Bordas and Clayton, they have a child who they found out is a girl, which is not typical for their race. And so they want the child to be surgically corrected to be a male, which I guess you can do easily enough, apparently.
Yep. Yeah. Apparently it only happens once every 75 years, I think they said.
Or something like that. Yeah, it doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
But yeah, and apparently it's the complexity of switching it from a female to a male is just – a blink of an eye, I guess.
Yep.
The doctor refuses. It's a standard practice for the Mauchlands. That's their race. However, the doctor and the captain and everyone else, basically, refuses to do it.
Right. For different reasons.
Right. And basically, it's like, we're not going to perform a sex change operation on a healthy infant because it does put the child's life in danger. And Bordas and his husband, or life mate, whatever they call themselves, they are like, this is our race. Like, he compares it to a cleft palate.
Yes.
You know, if you're born with a cleft palate, well, don't you have that? He's like, yeah, it takes like 22 seconds to fix that, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, okay, well, this is the same thing. And I just like how they addressed it.
Yeah.
I liked how they addressed it a lot. With Bordas is just like, this is my race. This is my customs. You're judging us on what we do based on your own beliefs. And that's not how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, because for his race, it was considered a deformity, and it was considered shunnable. Like,
yep.
They genuinely took all females out of the equation because they considered it
a weakness.
Yeah.
And they actually, the Mauchlands. Bordas contacts the Mauchlands directly to have them come get his daughter to make her a male.
Yep.
And they show up to do so. But in the meantime, he watches Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yes.
With Gordon and John. And it completely changes his mind.
Because first,
had Rudolph not had that deformity,
Exactly.
Then he could never help Santa get presents to the kids.
Right. And
so they've gotten the
strong girl there to try to show him that, you know, females can be strong by boxing
him and beating
the tar out of him. But it only served to enrage him more. Because as they brought up later on in the trial, you know, yeah, but your whole race is strong. You know, it's not just that you're a female who's strong. You're stronger than anybody else on the ship, but if your whole race was here, they're all that strong. So it's a racial thing, not a gender thing in that case. It would be one thing if in her race the females were stronger than the males, but, you know, so it wasn't selling him. But, yeah, Rudolph sold him on it.
Yeah, Rudolph sold him on it. But by then it was too late. The Mocklins showed up. They're going to take the kid whether they want to or not. They talk about threatening war or this causing issues with the Union, which is like their version of the Star Trek Federation. And they end up having a trial, like a tribunal over it, the decision, because now Bordas is like, no, we're not going to change her. We're going to leave her the way she is. And so there's actually a trial over if they're going to do the sex change to the baby or not. And they have to present evidence as to, you know, I mean, it's just, it was like kind of, I didn't expect this.
Yeah.
But I was loving it. And essentially, the captain, Ed there, I think it's hilarious. His name's Ed, by the way.
Yep.
finds out that there's a, he basically scans the whole planet looking for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just like, they have that technology. Okay. And they find a woman on the planet, Havina, and basically she's like, I've been hiding out in the mountains my entire life because I would be, you know, not treated well otherwise. But she goes down to testify on behalf of Bordas, and basically she is like, she shouldn't be allowed in here because she's a female. She's a piece of crap because she's a female.
Yep.
And then it's revealed that she is like their most respected writer, and everyone cherishes everything she has to say.
Yeah.
So my thought is like, how is she being published from the mountains? Like, she just sends it down, I guess? Like, she's never met anyone in person who's publishing her work? Or
she said that her parents had smuggled her up there and that they brought her books to read and stuff like that. So I would assume that they took the books back from her. You know, she would write and they would bring it back down. And because her parents obviously were both males. And they probably said, you know, oh, this comes from so-and-so, and they published it under a fake name.
Yeah, the pseudonym was like Gondis Elden or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really enjoyed the show.
I did too.
And I was very surprised at what happened at the end.
See, I was, but I was happy. And not because I was like, good, they should have done that. But because it wasn't a typical cookie-cutter ending. You know, it showed that even with the best intentions, even with the best arguments, sometimes people just can't be swayed. You know, that's it. They're like, no, this is how it is, how it was. You know, maybe down the road, maybe this paved the way for some possible change down the road. But as it stands right now, they were just like, no, this is who we are.
Yeah, and they gave the kid the sex change anyways.
Yep.
I was very surprised at that, honestly. Yep. But
it made it more realistic, which also kept it in the theme of some of the Star Trek and Star Trek The Next Generation episodes where, you know, no matter how they tried, the societies that they were trying to quote unquote fix still stayed in their ways. And they were like, this is all we can do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So no, I really enjoyed the episode. I hope the show is able to keep running. I hope it doesn't get canceled early, and I hope Fox doesn't screw it up. Or I don't know. People give it a chance because I really enjoy the show.
Fun fact: Bordas's mate there, Clyden.
Yeah,
that's actually the actor who played Tyrese on Walking Dead, and then played Church in Arrow recently.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I didn't either. Well, the voice sounded a little familiar, and the way that he kind of like hunched his shoulders, I'm like, I got to look this up. And then I was like, oh, look at him.
Nice.
Yep.
So you said you watched some movies.
I did.
I watched one movie. What did you watch for movies?
Well, I watched Assassin's Creed.
Okay. How would you think of that?
Well, here's the thing. I am a huge Assassin's Creed fan, the video games. I have been since game one. I really like the lore and the mythology. Like, they've gone really, really, really in depth into the mythology of this world because it supposedly takes place in the world that we live in right now, which I always like if people can do a good conspiracy theory type thing. You know, two hidden organizations, the Assassins and the Templar, since time immemorial, have been fighting each other because each one believes that they have the right answer for humanity. You know, the Templars say that humanity sucks and that they need to be controlled and shepherded and free will is ridiculous. And the Assassins say the opposite. You know, free will makes us what we are and we need to keep our free will at any cost. I've loved the games. I've loved the mythology. I've loved everything about it. This movie started off really well.
All right.
It was a 2-hour movie. The first hour of it, I was digging. I was right into. The game's always, the premise is that, you know, in our DNA, there's like 95% of our DNA that they don't know what it is. It's just like junk DNA or, you know, stuff that they can't figure out. So the game world proposes that those chunks of DNA are actually made up of memories that our ancestors have passed down. So you, by quote unquote unlocking it, you can actually relive memories, you know, like a projector on a screen. You could actually see past lives that your ancestors have lived. And they do this through a thing called the Animus, and that's what the game is, quote unquote. You know, you may have a character in modern times, but when you're in the old days playing as an assassin, you're reliving the memories of this ancestor of yours. So it's a cool twist on it. The movie did that justice. It even took it a step further with their version of the Animus and giving him like complete freedom of movement, projectors for like a virtual reality set. It was really well done. And then it's like they hit the middle point and they went, oh shit, we got to wrap this up. And the whole thing kind of fell apart. It became absolute garbage because they just rushed through the whole second act and completely blew everything that they had been building towards. It could have stretched out into a couple of movies and easily been awesome, but instead they decided to cram everything that they could into the second half of the movie and they completely fucked it up. So the first half was very enjoyable. The second half sucked donkey balls.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it really was terrible. Like, I was really, honestly, the first half of it, I was sitting there going, wow, why did this get panned so much? Why did people not like this? This is great. I really like this. And then it like hit this one point and I went, holy shit, this is why. Wow, this sucks. So I do not recommend this movie. Maybe the first half, if you're a big fan of Assassin's Creed, just turn it off after the halfway mark and tell yourself that, you know, the journey continues somewhere else, you know, in one of the comics that they've got or something. But yeah, don't go into this thinking that it's going to be a good movie, because it's not.
That's too bad.
Yep.
So what else did you watch for flicks?
Well, the other one that I watched, Little Evil on Netflix.
I also watched Little Evil on Netflix. That's awesome.
So what did you think of Little Evil?
Yeah.
Yep.
I was happy to see Donald Faison in a movie.
Yes. And Crystal Leo.
Yeah, and I liked seeing Tyler Labine yep. in a movie.
Yep.
I like Adam Scott.
Yes.
I do like Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of this movie.
I agree to an extent.
Yeah,
I wasn't as big of a fan as I thought I'd be. There was some good stuff in it.
There was definitely some good stuff in it.
I was a little bit weirded out / off-put by the female comedian, the big woman who kept referring to herself as a dude.
Bridget Everett?
Yeah, and she kept saying, you know, like, I'm a stepdad, and I'm a stepfather, and that was kind of weird.
Yeah, that was a bit weird. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. That was a whole lot weird.
And they never this was clearly a woman. She is clearly a woman. She has a woman's anatomy. They never touched on, you know, if it was just that she was identifying as a male or if she had gender reconstruction or what have you. It was just like, it was always an awkward thing. You know, she'd be like, yeah, I'm a stepdad. And he's like, oh, okay.
I didn't like how over the top, overly like, naive Evangeline Lilly's character was about everything.
That was a bit ridiculous, yes.
I mean, even after, like, she, you know, she goes and digs her husband out of the ground, and then she somehow turns it around on him that it's his fault for not bonding with the child.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Or, you know, it was kind of funny when she came at him and she was like, okay, mister, time out. And I'm like, chuckle, chuckle. But, yeah, when she then turned it around, she's like, this is your fault, and you're a jerk, and...
Yeah. And, like, you know, she – well, I mean, I told you about how I, like, joined that cult that time and, like, all these people chanted around me in masks and they covered me in warm red paint. And then I kind of blacked out and then I woke up and I ran away and then I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was some things like that, which was just like, But, I mean – there was quite a bit of the movie I did enjoy.
Yes. Yeah.
There was just, I don't know. You're watching the movie about the spawn of Satan, about the Antichrist. So, I mean, you got to, and it's a comedy. So, you know, you're going to have to deal with some far-fetchedness or whatever.
Right.
But, because this definitely was not a straight-up horror in any way, shape, or form.
No. But it also wasn't a straight-up comedy either.
No.
One thing that I appreciated about it, and I'll probably be in the minority here, is that they were really touching upon the, I'm a single person who wants to get together with this person, but they have a child, so it comes with that kind of baggage, and I don't know if I can deal with it.
Yeah.
Because I've been there, and it's definitely uncomfortable, and...
But he makes the mistake of marrying her without getting to know the kid better?
Yeah, that's on him. Like,
So there's that portion that's a lot of it's on him. You know?
Yeah. They had that whole support group of guys who were trying to deal with, cause they really made it seem like, you know, oh, it's always going to be the guy who's entering into the relationship with the woman who has the child from a previous relationship.
Right.
And, you know, they have tough times. I liked some of the stories, like when Chris D'Elia was talking about how, you know, the kid managed to climb up on the dresser and get the top drawer open and took a shit in my top drawer. And he said it was the cat, but this was not the cat. This was him. And there's a mirror up there. So he sat there and watched himself in the mirror while he took a shit in my drawer.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that was funny.
The monster truck El Camino was a little ridiculous.
Yeah, that was a bit extreme. But basically, we haven't really given us the plot. Essentially, man meets woman. Woman has child. Woman's child is the Antichrist. She is oblivious to this. Man sees all kinds of evidence pointing to that there's something wrong with this kid.
Yep.
Eventually decides he's going to try to murder this child after the kid tries to kill him, incidentally.
In the weirdest way possible.
So they go to a water park.
Yeah.
Because he has to murder the kid on holy ground and – his best friend, the woman who acts like a man, is like, you're trying to tell me that, you know, this water park wasn't built on holy ground?
Yeah, she said, like, I'm pretty sure the Pope came in and blessed it once or something.
Exactly. So they go, and they have a great, fun day together, and the kid starts laughing and smiling, and then Gary ties him down with sandbags and sends him down the water slides.
Water wings. Drown
at the bottom.
Filled with sand.
Yeah. And then regrets it and then gets his sign. And so he dives in after him and saves him. And in the meantime, the kid loses his evil goat puppet and his water wings. And he apologizes. And the kid's like, that's okay. I don't want you dead anymore. You know, like, and now they're best friends. And he calls him daddy and everything. So it's like, that was a really great day. I mean, you went from trying to murder this adult like you've done to other adults in the past to date your mom.
Yeah.
To absolutely loving this guy because you guys splashed around the water a little bit. Fair enough.
Yep.
Okay, so Sally Field, that was a different character for her.
Yeah.
She apparently plays a member of the cult, but somehow she has a job with DHS, I guess. And incidentally, you'll get my pain when I say this now. That's not how Amber Alerts work.
Yeah. That is not at all how they work.
First of all, the parents have to be involved. Unless the child is in DHS custody, DHS cannot just launch an Amber Alert because they want to. Let's just say that's not how Amber Alerts work, and that annoyed me.
Having cops waiting right around the corner to jump out and be like, here he is, let's hold him down while you take this child away.
Yeah, and we're not going to contact the mother in any way, shape, or form. No, that's not how it works.
No.
So anyways, but essentially, when he doesn't kill the kid, the cult's like, all right, well, we have to sacrifice him now, which doesn't make sense because in order to do what they wanted to do, the cult would have had to have sacrificed him to begin with, right?
Right.
Because, like, when she first came up and she's like, well, you're not, you know, you essentially when she comes up and we've been watching you and they thought, you know, he was going to kill the kid and he didn't, it seemed like, well, I guess now we have to kill him. But no, they were members of the cult. I thought they were going to be other people who were trying to kill him because he was the Antichrist.
Right.
So that loophole didn't make sense because if he would have killed him, it wouldn't have opened the doorway.
Right.
But because he'd have to be sacrificed on that correct spot. But whatever, it doesn't matter. Yeah. So they try to sacrifice. They kidnap the mom. Try to sacrifice the kid. Stepdad and all his new friends, including Donald Faison, show up in, the, like you said, the monster truck. They beat up Sally Fields, and they bust in, and then they stop it. And then he gives everyone a good scolding how they should be ashamed of themselves. And then the hole to hell opens, and then Clancy Brown gets killed, and then they all live happily ever after.
Which, come on, Clancy Brown.
Yeah,
that always was good in everything.
Yeah, so, I mean, I really enjoyed the cast. So then they all live happily ever after.
Yeah. It wasn't bad, but it definitely, I don't need to watch it again.
I never, ever need to watch this again. No. No. No, never.
No.
Ever, never, never.
No. Can't give it a hard sell.
No, I can't either. But, I mean, Netflix said I would love it. They get says, oh, you'll like this 5 stars worth. I'm like, Netflix, you were wrong.
Yeah. You have failed me, Netflix.
Yeah.
Anywho. The other movie that I watched this week is one that I think you're familiar with and that we could talk a little bit more in detail about.
Yes.
That would be Stephen King's It.
So I watched it on vacation. I talked about it briefly last week.
Yep.
Because I didn't want to ruin it for anyone yet. It's
right.
Still very fresh, very new movie.
Yep.
So I'm going to say, what did you think?
On the whole, I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah.
I had a lot of enjoyment for this movie. The person that I went with, she said that she felt that the original TV movie, was, how did she put it? I think she said scarier, but that this one, the clown was much creepier.
Well, I get how I haven't watched the original one in forever.
Me either. And so I was not in a position
really
to.
I really can't comment on it. But yeah. I do remember, like, all right, so we're going to spoil the crap out of this, people.
Yeah, so if you don't want to hear anything about It, you should turn off now because this will be the last thing that we talk about.
Well, no, we got to talk about trailers and stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Do we want to talk about trailers and stuff first and circle back around?
Yeah, let's do trailers just so that we can leave everybody with a – you know.
All right. We'll talk about trailers and stuff, and then we'll circle back around to It. I don't really have any news, per se. I just have trailers to talk about. All right. So I watched the trailer. I rewatched the trailer for Murder on the Orient Express. It comes out in November. The second trailer I watched, it looks even better. Like, I'm not going to go to the theaters and see it, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. I agree. I'll see it when it comes out at home, but oh, yeah.
I watched the Tomb Raider trailer. I hadn't watched it yet.
Yes.
I never once watched any of the Angelina Jolie movies because just watching the trailers made me go, I don't want to watch this movie.
Yeah, they were kind of ridiculous.
It looks stupid. I watched the trailer for this, and I want to watch this. Actually, I thought it looked really good. It looked more like – because, like, I think you touched on this or someone else did. I think you touched on this, though, whereas the original movies were focused on how big her boobs were.
Oh, yes.
And how small of an outfit they can put her in.
Yep.
Whereas this one is more focused on the story, the adventure of it all, the solving the puzzles, the things like that. At least based on the trailer I watched.
Absolutely.
And I was just like, I really want to watch this.
Yes. It looks like an Indiana Jones kind of thing. And
exactly, Indiana Jones.
With survival aspects. Yeah, it looks a lot like the rebooted games, and yeah, they were really good for story and such. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yeah, so I do want to check this out. I watched a trailer for a movie called The Shape of Water.
Okay.
Did you watch that?
I did not.
So I'll just read the little synopsis here. It's easier. Set in 1962, a mute janitor and her colleague work in a government laboratory and eventually discover that an amphibious creature is being held in a water tank there. The janitor, because she's very lonely and sad, befriends the creature and they fall in love. It looks awesome.
Really?
Yes.
Like, just based on that description, I'm like, oh, groan.
No, no. It looks great. You got to watch the trailer.
Okay.
There's a lot of comedy in there. Michael Shannon's is the bad guy. Not the bad guy, but Michael Shannon is the – am I saying his name right? Michael Shannon?
Yeah.
Zod? Yeah, yep. Okay. I'm a big fan of his, and he is the he's the government agent that has that's trying to find the creature.
Okay.
That's kind of in charge of the facility. There's some great comedy in it. It looks really cool. It just looks really cool. It's by the guy that did Pan's Labyrinth or whatever.
Guillermo del Toro?
Yeah, I think. Right?
That's the guy who did Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, well, that's what the little note said. I didn't really look into I got to look it up so I don't sound so stupid.
No, I get it.
The Shape of Water. Chapris of Water. There it is. Apparently, it's based on a book.
Okay.
Romantic fantasy film directed by, Guillermo del Toro. Yep. Okay, that's what I thought. It stars Sally Hawkins, Michael Shannon, Richard Jennings, Doug Jones. I'm guessing Doug Jones is the creature because he's always in a costume. it comes out this December. It looks really good. I honestly think it looks really good.
All right, I'll check out the trailer then.
Yeah, you should check out the trailer.
Well, I will.
A new Liam Neeson flick called The Commuter.
Oh, Jesus. Is this going to be like Taken, but on a bus or something?
On a train. No.
What was the one that he was in with the plane and Julianne Moore?
Yeah, I know what train you're talking about. Yes. Yeah.
So it's that on a train?
It's that on a train.
Awesome.
Michael is an insurance salesman who is out on his daily commute home when it quickly becomes anything but routine. After being contacted by a mysterious stranger, Michael is forced to uncover the identity of a hidden passenger on this train before the last stop. And as he works against the clock to solve the puzzle, he realizes a deadly plan is unfolding and is unwittingly caught up in a criminal conspiracy, one that carries life and death stakes for himself and his fellow passengers. So it's kind of like It's a Liam Neeson movie, yeah.
Liam Neeson's.
Yeah, it's kind of like Murder on the Orient Express, except no one's killed, but it's a train movie.
Well, I bet lots of people are going to get killed because it's a Liam Neeson's movie.
Yeah, probably a lot of people will get killed. Yeah, you're right. You got me there. The Jungle. It's a Daniel Radcliffe flick. Allegedly based on actual events of like him and a buddy getting lost in the Amazon jungle, and then I guess his buddy dies or they get separated, and he's just kind of trapped out there for a while on his own, being miserable.
Okay.
Lady Bird.
That was the name of Hank Hill's dog.
It was. This is about essentially the year in the life of this teenage girl. So it's kind of like when I watched the trailer, it made me kind of think of like a combination of like – well, okay. Did you see The Edge of 17?
No, but I know of it.
Okay. Kind of made me think of something like that kind of. It's like basically it's this is my life. It sucks, but it's not as bad as I think it is, and I'll eventually learn that at the end. And I'm unique, and I'm my own person, and I'm kind of an outcast. So it's kind of like a combination of, like, say, like Napoleon Dynamite for the way the film is the way the film looks based on the trailer, mm-hmm. not so much that type of oddball characters, but like a combination of like The Edge of 17 and Napoleon Dynamite. They kind of meet in the middle a little bit. And I don't know. It's got looks Laurie Metcalf plays the mom.
Okay.
She's the only one I recognize like in the trailer. But I don't know. It looks decent. It looks decent. I don't know. I'll watch it when it comes out on home video at some point.
Okay.
Yeah. And then my last trailer, because I watched a lot of trailers when I just went trailer hunting, was called The Snowman. And I'm definitely going to watch this flick. It's a foreign movie, but it's in English.
Okay.
And basically, Michael Fassbender. Is it Michael Fassbender? Yeah, that's his first
Magneto?
Name. Magneto? Yeah, Magneto. He plays a guy named Harry Hole, and he's a elite crime squad detective, and they investigate the disappearance of basically there's a serial killer they call the Snowman because he murders on the first snow of the winter.
His name is Harry Hole.
Yeah, it is.
He's a Harry Hole.
yeah, I know. Anyways, so it's basically it's a serial killer that kills on the first snowfall of the year.
Okay.
So he has a very short window from which he's going to murder someone. So it's really hard to catch him because you don't always know when it's actually going to snow.
I was going
to
say, sometimes it's like November, sometimes it's February.
Right. So anyways, it looks, I don't know, it looks like a great kind of like psychological serial killer, thriller, drama type movie.
Gotcha.
It looks good. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch the hell out of it.
Cool.
You got any trailers?
I do. Well, one you didn't mention, I'm pretty sure that we didn't talk about it last week, but we both saw it right after the show last week, is the official trailer for The Punisher.
Okay, see, I didn't remember if we talked about it last week or not, but I have watched that many, many times.
I remember that last week we talked about the fact that there was like that short, you know, where it was like him running through the woods.
The teaser, basically.
Yeah,
the short
and I was like, oh, I'll send it to you afterwards. And then like right after that came out the full trailer.
Okay, all right, yes, fair enough.
And that looks fucking great.
I absolutely cannot wait for that show to premiere. I've watched that trailer multiple times this last week.
Yeah.
The past week.
So fucking good.
It looks amazing. It looks absolutely amazing. I want to know when this comes out. Like, I want to, like, take a vacation day and just sit down and watch the entire fucking series.
Yeah,
like,
they're still being secretive about it, because even at the end of the trailer, like, where the date shows up, it's like all glitchy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the release date's been redacted.
Love it.
But it is supposed to be this year, and it's like, well, there's only 3 months left.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get on it.
Yeah. It looks awesome. I really like the first season of Daredevil. I haven't disliked any of the Marvel shows on Netflix. I had a very hard time with Luke Cage, but I haven't disliked any of them. I enjoyed The Defenders immensely.
Yep.
I am the most excited about The Punisher.
It
has to do with the fact of how awesomely he was established in Daredevil season 2.
And how great the trailer looks. I mean, it looks like they're really doing some great shit.
It really is like they go, oh, this is a series we were never expecting to create. But, I mean, the character played off so well in season 2 of Daredevil that we're going to give him his own show. And, oh, and by the way, it's going to be the most badass of all the shows. Because it's like they're finally doing the Punisher right.
Yep.
It's like, okay, so there's been 3 Punisher movies. And we can all agree that they weren't really the Punisher.
No. In their own ways. Like, each one of them did something wrong.
I will never say that all 3 of the movies were terrible, because I even really liked the Dolph Lundgren one.
Yep.
I watched it. I haven't seen it in years, but I watched it multiple times when I was a kid. Which seems wrong to say in a sentence, but hell, I did. My parents weren't very good at supervising what we viewed. but anyways, this is definitely The Punisher done right, and I'm excited.
And I think it also comes down to kind of like what I was saying about the Assassin's Creed thing earlier, is that they're giving him enough room to, you know, multiple episodes. It's not just crammed into one movie that's an hour and a half or 2 hours. They're actually saying, okay, we've established him in an earlier show, so we actually have a backstory there. Now we can focus on him as a person and all the ass kicking that he's going to do.
Yeah.
Over multiple episodes. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
I am very excited.
I
saw one trailer this week, and it's one, I saw like a brief version of it show up somewhere, and I was like, oh, that looks interesting. And then when I went to see it, I saw a really long preview of it. And I'm not sure if you talked about it when you went to see it, but you went to that little theater, so you might not have seen it.
You know what's funny? I don't remember trailers being shown before it at the little theater I went to. I remember a little introduction by Steve. I remember their pre-show, you know, like their whatever it is. I remember the Stephen King introduction and then the movie starting. I don't remember seeing any trailers.
Well, this one starts off with music that I hate. And I immediately I was like, no, I don't want to see this because I hate this music. It's this girl wakes up and her phone is playing that song, Yo Shawty, It's Your Birthday. And I don't like that
song.
Oh,
dude, I talked about this trailer.
Did you?
Happy Death Day.
Happy Death Day. I cannot wait to see this movie.
I talked about this a few weeks ago, and I was like, it's a movie we're going to love because it's a horror movie on a time loop.
Yes.
But we don't know why she's in the loop based on the trailer.
And the murderer who has the big baby face. And
yes.
The preview that I saw on it, they actually – it was an extended one, like I said, and they were showing different ways that she died. But it was so cinematically awesome because, like, at one point she gets hit upside the head with a baseball bat. And as her head falls and hits the ground, it, like, transitions into her head hitting the pillow and the alarm going off and her waking up.
Yeah.
It was so well done.
Yeah, I'm excited about that flick. It looks good.
Yep. I really want to see it.
Yep. I also hate that song.
Yeah. It immediately turned me off.
The same way the first time I watched the trailer, yes.
Yeah. But then I'm like, oh, all right, so I could do this. I could definitely do this.
But are we going to have to deal with that song multiple times in the movie every time she wakes up?
It looks like it, yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought.
But if it's a good enough movie, I'll deal with it.
Exactly. So we're going to talk about It now?
Yep, let's talk about It. So everybody, run away if you don't want to hear about It.
We're going to spoil the shit out of It, so thanks for listening. If you're going to disconnect now, we understand. Come back and listen to it after you've watched it yourself.
That's right. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay.
Yeah. So, first off, the way your friend was talking about how the original miniseries was scarier than this.
Yep.
I remember thinking, like, they used a lot of more psychological fear in the first one. It was the fear of the unknown.
Yes.
The fear of what you didn't see.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, we see Georgie get attacked and get his arm bit off.
Right at the beginning,
yeah. And then he's dragging himself away. His blood is pouring out of his stump.
Yep.
And it's just like, holy shit. Whereas in the other one, you hear screaming as the camera pans away and Georgie's squirming back and forth. And then he gets sucked in.
Yep.
So you don't see the visceral violence.
Right.
So the scariness is in what you don't see or you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I can understand that.
Yeah, however, this one definitely was all about the visuals.
I thought this was a lot more freaky, was a lot scarier and more freakier than the miniseries was.
Yeah.
The miniseries was very well constrained, not very well, but very constrained by the fact it came out in 1990. And it wasn't a theatrical release. It was a TV of the week type movie. Maybe,
yeah,
series.
So it was like less than PG in a lot of places.
Right. And so whereas I didn't think the original miniseries was bad per se, because I loved it and I've watched it many, many, many times. It's just I thought the constraints it was held under, you know, definitely made it, you know.
It limited it.
Thank you. It limited it. That's right. That's the words I was looking for, and I couldn't find it. It limited it. So.
Yep.
But I will note that the original miniseries was held over two nights on ABC or NBC, and it was like just over 3 hours long.
Yep.
This movie alone was 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So you can already tell they're able to tell more of the story.
Well, not only that, but this movie focused entirely on the kids. There were no flashbacks at all.
Yeah, whereas the first one starts out with them as adults, and it flashbacks to the kids and them meeting up and this and that and everything. I really liked how this was just them as kids only as them as kids.
Yep. And then at the end, you get that big thing that says, you know, it, chapter one.
Yes.
And you're like, yeah.
They've already announced the sequel is coming out September 6, 2019.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm glad they're not going to wait 27 years for the sequel, because that'd be a long time in between flicks.
Right. Yeah.
But I did like how, you know, Pennywise in the book kills every 27 years in the movies. And the original It came out in 1990, and the remake comes out 27 years later. I thought that was apropos. So.
Absolutely.
But, I don't know. I loved it.
I thought it was great. Like, I kind of lost a lot of respect for modern horror movies because they're not – it's not that they have to be slasher films and have a big protagonist who's running around killing people. But I felt like these days, quote-unquote, horror is more about, you know, creepy dolls, you know, like the Annabelle or the Paranormal Activity, just jump scares, nothing but jump scares.
Right.
And while this had its fair share of jump scares, it also was psychological and gruesome and really incorporated all the elements of a horror movie.
Yes, I agree with you.
I loved watching it. I loved that they really developed some of these characters. You know, you really got to know each kid with their own individual personalities and their own individual shit going on. I mean, it was really refreshing to actually watch depth behind kids. Usually with kids, they're pretty one note, you know. The adults get the development. The adults get the, you know, okay, well, this is where your character's going. This is what motivates them. But, you know, each one of these kids, you had the one kid there, and I'm going to forget their names, but you had the one kid who had the overbearing mom who didn't want to let him out of the house, and she was basically, you know, keeping him trapped with his placebos.
Yeah.
You had Bev with her whole, you know, are you daddy's little girl kind of thing.
It really creepily, like, is he having sex with his daughter, molesting her? Is he?
Which you know is he is.
Right. Or is he just, like, being abusive? I mean, what's going on there? And then, obviously, you know, he gets taken away at the end or moves in with his aunt, her aunt or something, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, keep going.
No, I was just saying, you know, each one of these kids has their own shit going on, you know?
Yeah.
And it was nice to see them rounded out so that when we see them later on as adults, you're going to say, oh, well, he's like this because of that. You know,
right.
You're already picturing what they're going to be like as adults. Even though if you've watched the miniseries or if you've read the book, you're like, oh, I already know. But if you can put that aside and you could just look at where they are in this movie, you're like, oh, I know. I can see where they're going to go with this.
Yep.
Pennywise was creepy as fuck.
Pennywise was super creepy. And I feel like I feel like they didn't touch on his backstory enough.
At all.
You know, like, we know he's there. Somehow they find, like, you have the one kid, what was it? I can't think of his name. The fat kid.
Yeah. No, I know who you're talking about. I'm going to bring up the page so that I can.
When he viciously, that kid starts carving his name into his stomach.
No.
That wasn't like scratches. Like,
no.
What is wrong with that kid?
Yeah, that kid is a sociopath.
That, exactly, you know, and if you remember in the original movie, he gets scared by Pennywise, and his hair turns gray, and he gets put in an asylum.
Yep.
Whereas in this one, he's just dead.
or you assume. I mean, he's kind of thrown down a well, and we don't see a bottom to it. So
yeah, he's gone. He's gone. But he was warped by Pennywise.
He really reminded me. Yeah, he was, because
he was
Pennywise.
Completely warped by Pennywise, which was, you know, and there was, I don't know, I enjoyed this more than the original miniseries.
I don't remember the original miniseries as much. I want to go back and watch it, but I know loved this.
I feel like I want to go watch it again as well, but from what I remember, I liked this better. Like, I was actually remembering a lot of the stuff in the miniseries as I was sitting and watching this movie. And I was like, oh, that's right, that happened. Oh, that's right, that happened. Oh, I wonder how they're going to handle it here. I wonder how it's going to be portrayed here.
Yep.
Like, I like, for whatever reason, at the end of the first one, in the miniseries, they'd come up with this thing where if they had, like, chunks of silver they shot in a slingshot, Pennywise would break open and light would come out of him. And this one, they didn't – no, they just beat the shit out of him.
Yep.
Anything they could get their hands on.
Yep.
And, you know, and then the whole, you know, the inhaler, this is battery acid, you slime or whatever, and – I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're like at the end in the miniseries, they make it seem like when they're kids, they kill and destroy Pennywise, and now he's back and they have to come back to face him again. Whereas in this, they realize, oh no, we didn't kill him. He's gone away though.
Yeah.
And we have to come back to stop him.
Yep. Cuz he even talks about his long sleep and yeah. You know, then jumps down the well.
Yeah. So that was interesting. In the first one, he has the catchphrase he says all the time about how we all float.
Yes.
But it's just a creepy sentence. And this one, it's like, oh, these people are actually floating.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it made a lot more sense. And I'm not going to lie, I don't know if that was in the book or not because I've never actually read the book.
We'll have to consult an expert.
Yeah, but it made a lot more sense.
Yeah. Yeah, cuz it was always like we all float, it'll float, you'll float too, and you're like,
is it the balloon?
Creepy. Yeah.
Is he talking about the creepy red balloon floating?
Yep.
Or whatever, or is it just like supposed? I don't know. But in this one, like when he abducts the kids, it's like he's draining their life force as they're all floating around this
monument whatever of garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was done really well.
I thought
how he kept approaching them to attack them, like. He would only approach them on a – like whenever they were grouped up, he wouldn't attack a group of them. He would only try to separate them and go at them one at a time.
Because it's all about fear.
Yes. And whenever they showed some unity or there was more than one of them, he wouldn't do it. So, yeah, that was kind of neat. I did like that. It shows how big of a coward he is.
Absolutely.
Especially going after kids, mm-hmm. You know, and impressionable people. But – So the scene where they are watching the old slideshow,
yes.
In the garage, and Pennywise explodes out of there and goes after them all, and he's some big huge monster. That's when the grown men started screaming behind me. It was that scene.
So. Nice. I knew I was going to have to ask you which scene it was, but yeah, I could definitely see that because that was big jump.
That was a big jump. How full was the theater when you went?
Really full. We went at like 6:30 on a Sunday, and it was packed. Like there were people kicking other people out of seats. They're like, "You're sitting in my seat." And the people that did that brought in a newborn, and I'm not sure why. Because at one point, there's babies crying on the screen. Like you can hear them in the background. You're like, "Oh, that's creepy." And then I'm like, "That's a little too realistic." And then like the scene shifted and I still heard the baby and I'm like, all right, this is just ridiculous. And then I saw a guy get up and he's like walking around trying to, like rock it back to sleep. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
What movie did we go see that someone brought a baby in at like 10 o'clock at night?
I don't remember, but I was thinking of the exact same thing. I'm like, what is wrong with these people that they bring babies? And that the theater's like, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Seriously, don't bring, like you're bringing your kid to, ugh. Don't bring a newborn to a movie that's not like made for kids. You have to be like,
and some people
there's a bunch
are gonna
of kids
like,
in here.
Some people are going to be like, oh, well, you know, babies don't retain those memories. I don't care. You're ruining it for everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. For me, it's not about the babies.
Yeah. I'm not here to save the children. I'm here to save myself. I want to watch this movie, and I don't want to hear your kid screaming and whining and crying the whole time because, you know, he's 2 months old. And you just needed a break. Find a babysitter.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah. If you have to go see a movie that bad, go individually and then talk about it together later on like we did.
Yeah.
Or find a babysitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just – don't bring a fucking – sorry, a newborn to the movies. Like just don't do it.
It was bad.
It was. That is. I wasn't even there, but it was. Anyways, the point I'm trying to get at. How full was the theater? It was full. Did you have a lot of people yelling?
Nope.
No. Nope.
And I was waiting for it. The woman that I went with, she jumped a few times. Yeah, she'd be like, ah!
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Nobody ever screamed like in yours. And I told her about that afterwards. I was like, I got to find out what scene it was. I got to know.
Yeah, it was one where they're watching the slideshow and he bursts out of the projector into the garage with them and is attacking them all. It's the only time in the whole movie he actually attacks all of them.
Right.
But again, he does it in the dark.
Yep.
And he makes himself a monster.
Yep.
Like a giant. And yeah.
In the dark when they were trapped, you know, because the doors were all shut and everything. He was really creepy, and it was great the way that, like, sometimes he moved slow and deliberate, and sometimes he just, like, super fast. You know, just speed across the screen and grab somebody.
Yep.
Or, you know, just like he had lightning up his ass or something. And then he'd just be like slow and deliberate and dancing. And
yeah, it was good. It was creepy. I wonder if in the second movie they're going to do some more research or have some more backstory on him or something.
Yeah, like as they grow up, they decide, you know, we've got to prepare for this. So they start doing more research, especially, what was it, Will? Ben, the one who's in the library all the time.
Okay, so Ben is the heavy kid. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, he was the one that basically was like, okay, this is who he is. This is the research I've done in this town. And they did it in a way it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm the lonely kid in town. I'm new here, so I'm doing all this research to learn about the town. Because I'm a kind of a dork and it's what I do.
Yeah.
And it fascinates him. And that's when he discovers all these – every 27 years is all these tragedies.
Yep. Like the egg hunt explosion and
– right. And he's the one that pieces it all together. And then, of course, they see the pattern of Pennywise in there,
yep,
the dancing clown. And I don't know. I mean, first of all, so creepy. The clown is so creepy.
He really is. Although I have to admit, I saw something very funny this morning. It was like a minute long. It was a quick clip. And you know – towards the end when he's got Barb down in the sewer and the wooden panel opens up and he's standing there and he's dancing that thing, which is really creepy because his head never moves, but every part of his body moves.
Yeah.
They show that over and over again, and they say it's Pennywise dancing to his 10 favorite songs, and they do clips from songs, and like Cotton Eye Joe is one of them, and it's just really funny to watch.
Yes, I did see that as well.
Yeah.
I did see that as well. Yeah.
But doing stuff like that, like in the movie itself, hearing that creepy music and seeing like the cameras jittering, his head is not moving, but his body is jigging back and forth.
Yeah.
It really is unsettling.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I loved the part where Georgie appears. And they're all down in the sewer, and Bev is under the power of Pennywise. And they're all there to try and get Bev back and to stop Pennywise. And then Georgie appears. And, of course, Bill runs off.
Yep.
Because that's what you do. You separate yourself even after you're the one that says we shouldn't separate. And then eventually they get back together. And now Georgie's there again. And he walks up. And Bill shoots him in the head.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean? He's just like, you're not my brother.
Uh-huh.
Oh, like, I'm so glad they didn't have him fall for it again type of thing.
Right.
And instead it's the opposite, and he just blasts him. And
yep.
Then, like, even his friends are like, oh, that's cold, because Georgie claps. And then for a split second in my brain I went, oh, shit, what if that's really him?
Yeah.
Like, what if he just actually killed his brother? And then finally he starts, like, convulsing around and reveals himself to be Pennywise. I'm like, I was almost kind of relieved.
You're like, oh, thank God he's not a terrible person.
Well, because what if his brother had been floating up there with the other people, and then
right?
Pennywise brought him down to fuck with him like that? You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if they would have had Pennywise like come around a corner and be like, ha 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 ha, that was your brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to really screw with him. So I don't know. But I thought it was great. I really look forward to part two here in a couple of years.
Yes, I do too. I would definitely watch this again. I will watch this again when it comes out. And I want to get my hands on the original as well. And just
I do want to watch the miniseries myself.
Yep.
Maybe we could try to do a social viewing.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure we could talk Johnny into coming over to watch it because he loved it as well.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Johnny liked it. Yeah, a lot.
Excellent. Cool.
Well, that's all I got this week.
That's all I got as well.
Yeah. So thanks for listening. Tune in next week and we'll talk about more shows and stuff, except there'll be a whole bunch of returning shows.
Holy God, there's a lot returning.
Yep. We got a lot to watch, John. We got a lot to watch.
We do. Yep.
But in the interim, you can find me on the Twitter machine. I'm at SuperstarML.
I'm at the Quantum Geek, G33K.
The show is at What Did You Watch on Facebook. Is What Did You Watch This Week, that is, and Twitter is at What Did You Watch. And I guess thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next week.